Today on Doomed! Is Donald Trump about to announce a 2024 run for office? We are live, and for podcast listeners, recording live Tuesday night, November 15th, 2022, on what supposedly is going to be Donald Trump's big reveal that he's running for president again. Regardless of what happens, we have a lot to talk about election-wise because the midterm election results are still coming in, and this is actually my first episode of Doomed since the midterm elections because I did a 6 hours of streaming on two other streams last Tuesday night instead of doing my own stream. And it was tons of fun. And one of the people who joined me on one of those streams, let me pull us up now on the feed for all of you, is David Dole of the Rational National. David, thank you for joining me tonight.
Hey, good to be here.
It is my pleasure to talk with you because I sort of scheduled this this show thinking, okay, this will be like a midterm election look back. I totally forgot that Trump had planned to announce that he was running. And I mean, has he come out yet?
I think it's people in my chat are saying that he's live now and that the paperwork has been filed. So that's leaked. So it's apparently real.
I can pull him up on the paperwork.
I see it right now.
I can pull him up
it's
on
real.
The feed here. Let me pull it up. Let's see.
I'm looking at Kyle Kalinske tweeted out a screenshot of there's Trump talking. Look at that.
Let me pull up his let's see. I can't hear him though. Let's see.
No.
Oh, I know why we can't hear him, because I forgot to turn the volume up. That would help.
And just a terrible person who would immediately go into war. They said during the 2016 campaign that if he becomes president, there will never be a war within weeks. And we will have wars like you've never seen before. It will happen immediately. And yet, I've gone decades without a war. The first president to do it for that long a period.
The first president to do it.
The world was at peace, America was prospering, and our country was on track for an amazing future because I made big promises to the American people, and unlike other presidents, I kept my promises. I kept them.
Oh, health care. Everyone will have health care, like that promise. This guy's amazing. He's going for a drink of water.
This is taking a while. So let's talk about this.
This is why. So after you asked me, I also realized Trump was going to announce. But then I thought, like, I probably would have streamed it. But at the same time, I would likely have walked away from the chair and just let it go. Because he takes forever to actually make an announcement.
His it takes so long for this guy to ever just spit out what he wants to say. But, you know, it is. I'll say this. This is best case scenario, I think. Republicans, at least Republicans who I guess are thinking more strategically, they think it's bad that he's going to run. They also think he's going to lose, which I don't know where they have been for the past, 5 years or so.
Well, he's going to win he'll win the primary, but I think that they're correct to worry that he's going to lose the presidential election. I don't think he could beat Biden. He already lost. I don't think he's going to win again. You see, like, especially now after the midterms, you see the youth turnout there. It's going to be even bigger, based on age alone, because people like younger now will be able to vote. But that plus the fact that it's Trump, like, no, there's going to be a massive turn out against him. If he makes that again, this is so bizarre that he, like, what world are we living in where this is happening? Like, it's so weird to see him announcing again. I mean, even though it's obvious, it's also just incredibly bizarre. But I don't think he would have a shot against any Democrat, to be honest with you.
But he's
maybe like Kamala Harris. I don't know.
Yeah, he's gonna completely run rampant on the GOP primary candidates, though. Like, he is going to absolutely destroy anyone in the Republican Party who dares to run against him. And the fact is, they really do think he's going to lose. Like, they think, because, like, Matt Walsh and some other people who had to be convinced that Trump was the guy in 2016 anyway are going, yeah, I think Ron DeSantis is the guy for 2020. They think, because those people are saying that, that, like, the base feels that way too. Where have they been? This part, they like, the Republican base are now people who are just, like, obsessed with Donald Trump.
Yeah. I will say there was about a week where I thought it could be DeSantis, because there was a lot of polling coming out. And actually, there's even polling coming out now showing that DeSantis has, a lead over Trump in many states and in certain polling. But I think that all goes away once the election actually, or once the primary actually starts and there's, like, debates. In fact, I think it's a good shot that DeSantis doesn't even run now. I mean, if Trump's in the field, I think he buys his time. He figures, hey, I'm still young. I don't need to, you know, potentially lose against Trump and destroy my entire career now. I can wait this out and just, you know, try and run next time. If there is a next time, we're talking about an authoritarian here running for president, a fascist. This guy is not going to want to give up power. He'll try to keep it any way he can. But I think DeSantis thinks if there is a next time, and I bet he thinks that there will be a next time, that he'd rather just wait and not ruin his career going up against Trump and getting destroyed.
I mean, you think that would be obvious, but I don't think they're going to. I really do think that they think Trump is over. I think
they think that.
They've deluded them. Like, the smart thing would absolutely
at least
be,
for now, they're projecting that. But do they really? This happens every time, right? Like, happened after 2020. Oh, it's the end of Trump. That's it. Then it's like, no, he's still the dear leader of the party. So all this media crap could just go away in, you know, a couple of weeks, and they're all just going to fall back in line now. That's I don't know. That's how I see things going, because that's where their supporters are. As long as their supporters are still backing Trump, why would they try and push DeSantis and potentially lose their viewership and the cash that they have coming in? Since ultimately that's what drives them, is just that. There's no principles. There's nothing there. It's just like, who can I serve to continue this, this cash cow? And that's what they're doing at this point.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we will, I guess, just have to see what happens here. I think that it's incredible that they I can't wait for him to just destroy Ron DeSantis. It's going to be so sad to watch, because the country, the rest of, like the Republican Party is viewing, they live in an absolute bubble. You could tell by just everything they do. But I mean, nothing is more obvious than this past midterm election last Tuesday, when they ran on, like, culture war issues as their forward messaging, like anti-LGBTQ. Just they really ran rampant with that, especially gender identity, and they got clobbered. I mean, they live in
anti-trans,
their little bubbles.
Anti-abortion, like, that was their platform,
right? And they thought that was going to be the winner, right?
Yeah, and then, like, I don't know. It made me. It gave me a little hope, because for a long time, I mean, really since the pandemic and before then, it felt like everything was moving in the wrong direction. People were too dumb or not paying attention to realize what was going on. They didn't see the threat to democracy. They didn't care about, you know, cultural issues at all. And they were, I don't know, I guess worried about gas prices as if, you know, the GOP would do anything about inflation or get, like, again, like these empty, even if you want to try and claim that voters were concerned about, you know, kitchen table issues, about, you know, about gas prices or whatever the hell. What name one policy that the right was offering that would have changed any of that? Like, there was nothing. They didn't offer anything there, and they haven't for decades. So why would that change now? So, but it was good to see that, no, people, at least enough people, not all people, but enough people are paying attention and realizing that, no, we can't let these lunatics come in with all this, you know, focus on anti-trans trash, all this hatred of people that are the most marginalized in society, the being anti-abortion when the vast majority of people support abortion rights. So it was really, like, that gave me some serious hope to see all these election deniers lose as well. Carrie Lake just lost. Wonderful. So there, I think it bought us some time. It bought, you know, the entire world some time, at least for the next 2 years. We'll see what happens then. But to know that most people, at least most voters, saw the threat and voted against it, that gave me some hope.
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely a good night on Tuesday. I mean, sure, it looks like the Republicans are probably going to win the House, but I mean, that was like the scenario that almost was surely going to happen. Like, yeah. The idea that Dems could even hold it was amazing to begin with. Like, that was even a thing that was possible at the end of Tuesday night. And the fact that the Senate is a done deal, Democrats hold the Senate. Worst case, I mean, it seems like nothing gets done for 2 years. And then Trump versus Biden part two. And that should bring in an election. It's a presidential year election, so that should be good for the Dems if Trump is the top of the ticket for Republicans, which he almost certainly will be.
Yeah, it was funny too. So while we were streaming the election coverage, I don't think I really realized how good of a night it was going to be until you came on the stream and you were like jolly and happy and laughing, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is like, I guess this is a good result. I mean, it was still early coming in, but you seem really confident. And you were right about, you know, sure, Democrats, yeah, they lost the House, but like, what, two seats? But ultimately, they gained a seat in the Senate. They may pick up or they may keep Georgia, which will keep them, or which will give them an extra seat. But the fact that this is so... You know, I saw some information out there, some history about past midterms and how all these other presidents, minus Bush, I think Bush picked up like 8 seats in the midterms, but everybody else lost like 20 seats, 40 seats, going back to Carter till now, like Reagan, everybody, Clinton, Obama, they all lost a ton of seats. So like based in like looking at this historically, looking at this from the polling perspective, it was a real surprise and a great night for Democrats just based on that alone. Because I know there was, you know, people like Tim Pool were out there trying to claim, what's wrong? We won all these seats. What's the problem? But it's like, no, you were expected to dominate. There was no red wave. You barely just now took the House. And yeah, all these predictions did not, you know, come true. So based on, you know, just that, it was a really good night.
All right. Right. First of all, I want to thank you for giving me the credit of being the bringer of good news last week.
Maybe it was because you're on that right wing podcast that you're so happy to like leave that shit to come.
Oh, no, I also was very happy because I knew how things were going. I was feeling very, very bullish that morning. Even someone, you know, I didn't make my predictions like I did for the presidential election, where I was 99.9% correct in calling it. But I did tweet out to someone who asked me, you know, are we doomed? Someone asked me, making an obvious pun to my show. And I straight up said, you know what? I'm feeling pretty good about today. I'm feeling pretty good about it. It just didn't, the things just weren't aligning for me. Like the idea that the polls were so heavily weighted using all these Republican leaning you know, polling firms, it just was very, very interesting to me. That you usually don't see that avalanche of polls from very biased sources like that, unless they're trying to create some sort of media narrative. Things just weren't lining up for me.
But then even this is what I don't understand. In creating that media narrative, how does that benefit them? Because doesn't that ultimately suppress their vote if people think, hey, we're going to win anyways? Why should I bother going? Like, that reminds me of 2016 when Hillary was definitely going to win the election. And I have to imagine, I mean, I don't think that's the reason she lost, but I'm sure it played a little piece, like people thinking, hey, why should I bother voting? She's going to win. Trump can win. I mean, what world would we live in if Trump became president? So people just couldn't imagine him winning, right? So the idea of putting all these polls out there in the favor of Republicans, I just don't see how ultimately that would benefit them. And I mean, I'm not sure if that played a piece here as well, but I think it would have helped them to treat this like, hey, you have to come out to vote because this is a close election and we're only going to win if you come out to vote. But they didn't do that. And I'm sure some people stayed home that otherwise would have voted.
That's definitely possible. I think for their calculation, it's probably more so that if you convince everyone you guys are going to win, that should depress maybe the other side or rally your base to, I don't know, because you know how they've completely convinced their base that there's some sort of election fraud in every single election, unless they're winning, of course, then everything's fine. So, you know, make sure you get out there to vote because the polls show we're winning. So if we don't win, they committed some sort of fraud behind the scenes.
Yeah,
that's probably their line of thinking.
And actually, what surprised me as well is you didn't see a lot, like minus, you know, Carrie Lake and, you know, those assholes. You didn't see a lot of that. Like, I really thought there would be more claims of fraud over these losses from both the actual candidates and also right-wing media. And there really hasn't been, which is a good sign. It's good to see that they're not going, you know, full fascist just yet. As long as Democrats can keep fighting back this garbage, they're going to, I think, continue gaining the numbers as long as the right is as crazy as it is. I mean, the real strategy now, if I were within the GOP, the obvious strategy is to maybe not focus so much on issues that are incredibly unpopular. Like, don't be anti-trans. Don't be anti-abortion. Have some baseline understanding of what is popular and what isn't popular, at least culturally. And then, you know, you could still do all the garbage you want to do when you're in power. But in terms of the politics of it, in terms of campaigning, maybe try to appeal to people a little more, which is not what they're doing. But I saw it today. Ben Shapiro and Matt Walsh are now saying if you are pro same-sex marriage, you can't be in the party. It's like, all right, I'm great. If you want to do that, go ahead. Like, it's not gonna help you. But if you want to keep, you know, beating that drum, sure, I guess. But it's a really bizarre strategy to try and keep pushing this line.
Oh, let me pull this video really quick so we could actually.
Do we have the announcement?
Yeah, one second. Grabbing it. Want to make sure everyone can hear it. Let me pull up the video. One second. Here we go.
In order to make America great and glorious again, I am tonight announcing my candidacy for President of the United States.
Oh boy.
Oh my God.
Here we go. Let's do this. I'm excited. I'm honestly excited. I'm especially excited for Trump to find out what, and I should be clear for anyone who's thinking I'm out of my mind. I'm excited to see Trump completely wreck anyone in the GOP who dares to run against him, wreck their political future, because that's what's going to happen. I mean, think about all the people who ran against Trump in 2015, 2016. Jeb Bush, where the hell is he? Chris Christie.
This time, who, apart from DeSantis, who is there? Like, who does the party actually have that could be destroyed?
Marco Rubio's been a nobody there, right? Since he dared to run against Trump. Marco Rubio done. I guess Ted Cruz can get his shellacking, but he'll get, maybe he's a bit of a masochist and wants his once every 4 years shellacking from Trump.
He needs a spanking every 4 years.
Maybe he wants Trump to call his wife ugly again. I don't know.
But yeah, I just don't, like, I think this is great for Democrats because I think Ron DeSantis would do much better against Biden or a lot of Democrats potentially if it was him.
And this isn't like hoping Trump was the guy in 2016 and getting, you know, like some people did and get screwed over because look what happened. But we can also use look what happened in 2020. That's the more analogous comparison, 2020. Yeah. People have already seen him as president for 4 years. They don't want Trump again. I mean, look at 2020. Look at 2022, just last week. I mean, the American people look at the Republican Party as Trump's party. And they've said for two elections straight, even as Biden's approval rating is in the toilet, they said, we want Trump even less. And that's where we are. But the Republican Party isn't that. So what we're going to get is he's going to run rampant on anyone who runs against him. He's going to become the Republican nominee. He's going to run against Biden. And I don't see a scenario where... the Dems can always screw things up. That's the truth. Yeah. But things as they are now, I don't see a scenario where he wins.
No. Yeah, I'm not sure what would have to happen for that to happen. It's just like you, I don't know. There'd have to be like a unique situation again where, like, you know, COVID happened and, you know, that hurt Trump. But
Joe Biden coming out and saying, ladies and gentlemen, I've decided I'm not going to run for re-election. In my place, Hillary Rodham Clinton. And she comes out and
in that case, yes. Then
there's
then
your
I
scenario.
See Trump winning.
There's your scenario. Right, right. There's a scenario.
I mean, that's probably the only person that could lose to Trump is Hillary Clinton.
I mean, we know that's the case, right? Right.
Yeah, but what are the next 2 years going to look like? Is this going to be like a new Trump rally every 3 days? Like, this is so. And then what happens with the investigations to him? Like, is Merrick Garland going to go through with anything? Like, is this just dead in the water now because it's affecting the election? Like,
yeah, they're not going to go forward with anything. In fact, there was an internal memo from Facebook that was going around that got leaked. Being that Trump is now running for president, he can no longer be fact-checked on Facebook because they have a rule on Facebook to not fact-check political candidates because they don't want to be seen as putting their finger on the thumb. I mean, their thumb on the scale, excuse me, their finger on the scale. Excuse me. So, I mean, really dumb policy, but that's what they're going to do now.
Yeah. I just don't understand at that point. Like, yeah, I don't know. But we're going to have to see what happens with him because this whole thing is just, I feel like we're living in a simulation. Like, this shit's so bizarre just to see this again. And like, we're going through this again. Like, what is happening? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and this time we got all sorts of different, like, it's like a remake, but with slightly new twists. Like, for example, in 2016, when Trump was running, Elon Musk didn't own Twitter and decided to get rid of the verifications and all that stuff so anyone could be anybody. That'll be fun. A Donald Trump campaign with fake verified Twitter accounts running rampant all over the place.
Is he going to come back to Twitter? I feel like he's really trying to push Truth Social. And then I do wonder now. If Twitter continues, if it exists, now that it's this bizarre thing with Elon Musk, is that going to potentially have some kind of impact on future elections because of all the bullshit that's going to be on there, that's going to be unmoderated? I mean, this is, you know, a side note, but I've seen a lot more spam, a lot more right-wing garbage since Elon Musk took over. Like, it hasn't gotten better. He didn't get rid of the spam. It's gotten worse. So I don't know, you know, what's going to fix that.
Yeah, I don't know. Hold on. There's more here. Let me pull this up. I'm gonna have to watch these because I need to see them. I'm just reading people's transcripts of it, but I don't.
Is he still going?
He's still going. Of course.
We could watch it live if you want. I mean, I don't know what the hell.
You want to pull it up?
But he's also probably just rambling. It's gonna be all Trump for. God, I was so happy not seeing him in the news every day, and now this is just going to be Trump every day.
It is feeling a little bit like
he was president.
it is feeling a little bit like deja vu to me. Like I'm getting those same.
Sorry, same your voice is cutting out now.
Oh, it is. Oh no, what's going on?
Oh wait, now you're back. Yeah, I don't know, man. Trump, this is like, I was so happy not seeing him in the news every day, and now we're just, I guess we're back to this bullshit. We're just gonna see him. I'm gonna try to not engage with it too much, just because, you know, it's his whole thing is do things for attention, right? So until it's actually affecting something, or like, I don't know, polling maybe comes out, maybe I'll cover polling every now and then, but like every Trump rally, he says something stupid. I'm not gonna, like, why? Is the media gonna, you know, is NBC and, you know, MSNBC, CNN, are they gonna get back on that shit too? Just every single day, Trump said this today. Like, it's until he's actually in power, it doesn't really matter, is my opinion.
Everyone is going to be, obviously, all media is going to be covering him, everything he does. It's going to be, I don't know. See, that's the thing. I don't know how to feel about it in terms of, I mean, I know how to feel about it in terms of how they're going to cover him. It's going to be gross. But I mean, I do think he's going to destroy the Republican. And I don't want to say for good, but for 2024, he's going to take the whole, he's going to, if by some way he loses, he's going, like the primary, he's going to take them all down with him. Like, he's not going to be a good winner. He's not going to be a good loser. He's going to be a sore winner, a sore loser, and they're going to regret ever getting involved with Donald Trump.
Well, I don't think there's any chance he loses the primary. I mean, if he loses the primary, in fact, if he loses the primary, I'm worried at that point, because I think whoever the winner of that is, then they could beat Biden. And I assume, but it'd be like DeSantis.
But he wouldn't let, if in some way that happened, he wouldn't let them.
But it wouldn't matter at that point. If he loses the primary, that means he lost the voter. That means he lost his voters.
Well, that means he just
and
lost.
Whatever he says at that point, it's not going to matter.
That just means he lost the majority of the Republican voters. But if half those people stayed home and didn't vote for whoever.
Yeah, that's true.
It would not be good for the Republicans. I mean, I really wish I lived in the world they lived in, where they don't see him as like the leader of the party, where it doesn't matter that his candidates lost in the midterms to the Republican base. They are dealing with a base that's not living in reality, they're not living in the real world. They're under the assumption that they're only losing because of cheating, and that they really are the winners, and that most people actually think like them, even though it is the absolute opposite. They're actually toxic, a turnoff to anyone who is not a right winger, where even the so-called moderates, whoever the hell they are, and independents are saying, yeah, we prefer the guys over there, the Democrats, to this shit.
What really amazed me is that there are actually just enough of those people that either didn't vote or voted for Democrats. Because this, you know, the so-called, I don't know, moderate Republican, I feel for the most part, doesn't really exist in terms of the actual voter. Because at this point, how could you still be a Republican but not like Trump? Like, who are you? Like, why are you still with the party?
You're the Daily Wire staff. That's basically who you are.
But no, they go along with Trump. Like, they,
well, now they're not.
Oh, we'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah, of course. Until he wins.
Once the subscriptions drop, that's it. Right. They're going to get back on the wagon. Like, I don't know. They can try and do that now, and they're trying. And I think they're trying because they see the death of the party in the future if they continue with Trump. Or not the death of the party necessarily, but like the death of, like, they're going to lose the next election if it's Trump again. So I think they're really trying hard now to steer the ship, like, at this moment. But I don't know if that can really hold. The people, as you said, they're too far gone. They don't live in reality.
Here, let's look at this.
It's more team sports for them.
Let's look at this clip I pulled. This should work because it's not from the Trump thing. And so I've had it for, it should work. This is a clip from outside Trump Tower today. It speaks for itself. Let's play this clip.
USA! USA! USA!
You hear that now, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
USA!
This is very disrespectful in the Arab states.
Ron has got two big cruise bridges.
He's out.
He has plenty of time to gain wisdom.
Trump or death.
Let him stay in Florida for a while.
Remember when they did the Saddam Hussein statue came down?
That's right, yes.
Remember when the Saddam statue came down?
Hey.
My father used to say, son, I brought you into this world, I can take you out.
Everything he's got here is to Trump.
It's Trump or death.
I want to send a message. You think Nancy Pelosi might watch this? Well, Nancy, your reign of terror is almost over, and I hope you realize there's no ice cream in hell. And your husband's a cruiser. He cruises for rough trade on Castro Street.
This is Ed, the Santa Claus.
Put him on a short leash.
Now, I just want to point something. Yeah. Well, first of all, I mean, again, they live in a bubble. Like, he sincerely asked, do you think Nancy Pelosi is going to be watching this? Like, he looked absolutely sincere, like as if she's going to watch this random fucking video that someone took outside Trump Tower. But, I mean, one really telling thing, obviously, is the Trump guy saying, my father used to tell me I brought you into this world, I could take you out. That's like fucking child abuse. That's now you understand where these people are coming from, how they were brought up, the people who raised them. Jesus Christ. I mean,
yeah, I didn't even think about really, that. No, that's true.
It really explains who these people are. I mean, they are demented. And they're corny too. They're so corny. I can't imagine hanging out with these people. They're weird, whatever. I can't even say sense of humor because there is none there. That's just like their jokes aren't funny. They make no sense. It's constant referencing inside jokes that only they understand and no one outside the little MAGA bubble ever gets it. You could always tell, like when you're on Twitter or on social media anywhere, even on Facebook, a right-wing meme always references some super insidery thing with zero context that leaves anyone who's just scrolling by thinking like, what the fuck does this mean? What is this?
I guess that's how they, I mean, it's watching that. This is like, yeah, this is a cult. That's what, to have that kind of view on Trump and like it's Trump or death. Like what the, I don't think there's a single Bernie Sanders supporter who'd be like, it's Bernie or death. And if there is, then they're not well and they need help. Like,
right.
But for the right, that is like the majority of Trump supporters. Those people are, you know, two extreme guys, but I can't imagine the rest of the base is that far off that. I mean, that's pretty, I think that's a good representation of how they operate.
Like, I can't wait for Ron DeSantis to be introduced to the United States of America, for the country to get to know Ron DeSantis and how unimpressed they're going to be by him. He is the perfect candidate for the stuffy DC type Republicans who think that, you know, and you know, I wouldn't even be surprised if when it came down to Trump and DeSantis, if Trump even inched out the win there, honestly. I mean, the idea that DeSantis is going to run wild on the, you know, on Trump and win the primary because he's liked in Florida. I mean, they don't know him. The Republican base doesn't know him besides him being like a guy who's owning the libs in Florida and shipping immigrants to Martha's Vineyard. But he's already played that card. What more does he got? Trump is going to go out there and pull his Trumpisms and all that shit, and they're going to eat it up out of the palm of his hand and turn on whoever he tells them to turn on.
Yeah, ultimately, it's the fact that Trump is a right-wing comedian. He's an entertainer. I think that's why he is able to maintain the support that he has, because he doesn't really speak as a politician. He doesn't operate as a politician. He's out there just being ridiculous, and people, his supporters, love that shit. DeSantis has none of that charisma. I mean, they try to equate, you know, DeSantis with, or supporters of DeSantis try to say, you know, DeSantis is like Trump without the baggage, which, you know, you could argue is true, but that's, you know, you're missing what makes Trump so popular, and that's his charisma. That's his ability to get laughs, even out of, you know, me occasionally. Like, Trump says ridiculous things that I'll laugh. That's why he has this support. That's why he continues having this support. DeSantis has none of that. And I don't think anyone else can really take over that sort of, you know, Trump support base unless they're also coming from the outside as an entertainer or a celebrity, and they're able to play to the base in that similar way. But as far as I see, I mean, I'm sure there are some other crazy right wingers out there that could do that, but I haven't seen one that can do it as well as Trump does. And that's why he continues to gain the support. And I think that's why he'll win the primary.
Oh, apparently Fox News just cut away from Trump's speech as he was going into a rant about Angela Merkel. Who's not even the Chancellor of Germany anymore.
What? He's announcing a run and then he has a beef with Angela Merkel? Like, like what? This is why covering any Trump speech, any rally is just a waste of time, because it's like there are bits of information, I mean, like this announcement that he's running, and then the rest of it is just like him running his mouth about whatever. It's him going to therapy. That's what these rallies are. It's therapy for him to go out there and then vent about whatever's bothering him. And then that's, you know, that takes up 3 hours of just him venting about whatever vendetta he has. It's just so, the whole thing is so ridiculous. And it actually amazes me that people haven't gotten bored of it, because it's so clear. He is so self-obsessed. It's all about ego for him. Doesn't that get exhausting? Even as a supporter of his, like, wouldn't that get exhausting for those people to just see this guy complain about himself, or people that hate him every time they see this guy talking? Like, it just, the Trump of 2016 is gone. The guy that's talking about, you know, you'll have health care if I'm in power, that guy is gone. It's all about him. It's all about ego. It's all about who's wronged him. And people haven't gotten bored of that. Like, it's so weird. And like, there are people, I'm sure people have, you know, uncles or aunts or friends who are like that, and no one likes that person, right? That person shows up to a dinner and they're just talking about themselves the entire time and all these beefs they have, and you're like, you're the problem. You have all these beefs because you're the issue here. But it's like, I don't know how people continue finding that to be engaging and interesting and continue supporting it. It's so, the whole thing is, again, just bizarre to me.
Breaking news here. This is important. Carrie Lake has come out and endorsed Trump.
For real?
Well, of course.
Oh, my God.
She's hitched her.
She wants that VP spot so badly. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I know. After her run after for governor of Arizona went so swimmingly, she's gonna jump next to VP. Yeah.
You know who's next? Tulsi Gabbard. Tulsi Gabbard's gonna jump on.
Yeah, she's gonna.
It's gonna be Tulsi Gabbard and Carrie Lake going for that. That's fine.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Tulsi is another conversation. Just like the transition. I mean, she was coming. You know, that her turn has been coming for a while. But the move from like Biden being too far right, he's too conservative, to I'm endorsing Biden, to Biden is now communist Mao. It's just like, it was so quick in 2 years. It was really incredible to watch that.
Yeah.
I feel like you're reading breaking news. Is there more breaking news happening?
I'm trying to follow what's,
it's probably just him, you know, going up.
Yeah. You never know what he's going to do though. And of course there's, one line that I was looking at right then was apparently he said that there was a decade of peace and prosperity when he was president. Somehow 4 years of Trump led to a decade of peace and prosperity, while also, by the way,
like
everything
decade.
Being shit under Biden. So somehow Trump retroactively had to have made it peace and prosperity before he was president, because apparently everything was shit after. I don't know, or maybe he just crammed those 10 years into four. Four, which honestly it did feel like, so maybe he's onto something there. 4 years of Trump definitely did feel like a decade.
Yeah. I bet you he just thinks like a decade means like a chunk of time. He doesn't know it means 10 years. Like, right. It's been I was in power for a decade and it was amazing. Like, nobody.
I mean, let's talk a little bit about, because this sort of became the Trump show, and I was expecting to talk more about, we started with the midterms, like a broader thing, actually, but let's get back to a few specific races. I mean, Fetterman, destroying Oz, Kelly, destroying Masters. I can't believe that one wasn't called earlier because it never got closer. It was never a nail biter. Mastio Cortez even pulling out the win over what's his face, Lax, whatever his last name is, I can't remember, the Republican. Yeah. And she was supposedly the most vulnerable. We'll have Herschel Walker and
Raphael Warnock.
Warnock in a rematch in a couple weeks. The sad thing about that is that Warnock's actually a good senator. Like the fact that we might not have him in there. I know people are like, we already held the Senate. Don't think like that. I mean, Manchin and Sinema are still there. But also, if we're going to lose a Democratic senator, Warnock's not the one we'd want to lose. Like from a leftist perspective, like the dude is actually, interestingly, even the other senator from Georgia, Ossoff, both of them been pretty damn good, especially considering they're from Georgia and had to like sort of, you'd think they'd have, and I don't mean to knock Georgia, I mean their constituency, you'd think their constituency wouldn't go for, they'd have to worry about their constituency and so they wouldn't vote for more progressive policy. Now, an addendum is that the policy that usually hits the Senate ain't so progressive, but the two of them have been pretty damn good when it comes to actually voting on whatever good stuff that can get to the Senate.
Yeah, there were a couple of Bernie Sanders amendments that I forget what they are exactly now. They may have been wage raises or something that Bernie tried to add to the Inflation Reduction Act. And no other senator voted for them except Bernie, Warnock, and Ossoff. And I was like, wow, this is good. like even though it's not going to pass, they still, you know, supported this Bernie amendment that no one else did, showcasing, even like Warren didn't support it, showcasing that, yeah, these are like, they both surprised me, especially Ossoff. I didn't think anything of Ossoff initially, because didn't he initially run for another position?
Yeah, he ran, from the House. He ran for House in like a moderate or centrist or right-leaning district. I don't remember. He ran twice, I think. That's when like all the resistance libs were going crazy and voting their, what was it? Their Ossoff. That was the thing. You remember that? Yeah. Vote your Ossoff.
Vote my Ossoff.
Yeah. And he really put himself forward as like sort of like a run of the mill, like centrist Dem. And then he ran statewide in Georgia and came out more as again, we should say they ain't Bernie Sanders and, you know, and there's
but more
not
like
very
left of center than the typical Democrat.
Yes. I mean, honestly, there is no like leftist contingent in the Senate. No. The Senate is like, I mean, I guess Fetterman will now be like the second most progressive in there after Bernie, depending on how Fetterman decides to run. I mean, but Fetterman's been pretty progressive for his political career so far, so I doubt he would go back on that. I mean, I know some people are upset over the fracking stuff, but it is Pennsylvania. You do have to make some you know, if you want to win your campaigns, you do have to make some concessions here and there.
Yeah, he's bad on two. He's bad on fracking and bad on Israel. But
right, Bernie ain't perfect either. Bernie's weak on certain areas too. I mean, you take what you can get.
Yeah. But those races, like to see Fetterman defeat Oz, was just like a sigh of relief. Like, thank God, people were able to look past the debate, look past this guy that, you know, is suffering or still recovering from a stroke, and see that Fetterman actually has a history of caring about people, actually fights for people, actually has policies that wants to, you know, improve the lives of individuals, compared to Oz, who was just, again, just a bunch of hot air and seeking power. So it was, and the fact that, you know, Oz, again, a celebrity that gets, you know, your foot in the door, the name recognition means a lot in these races. And for Fetterman to be able to get past all of that really gave me, again, some hope, at least for voters in Pennsylvania, that they were able to see who was worth voting for, at least the majority voting for in that race.
Well, Fetterman actually outperformed Biden in Pennsylvania, which is
crazy.
One thing I want to mention, being a New Yorker, is New York blew it for the rest of the country. That's where your lost seats are coming from that are going to hand the House to Republicans. Every district I think I saw in New York voted, the Biden percentage vote was more than the vote for the Democrats in this time around. And I remember also seeing that the one area in Pennsylvania that went more right just happens to be the area that falls under New York City is like a media umbrella. Like they're just in that bubble where they get served the ads and content from New York City media. We were, and we have a mayor here in New York City and Eric Adams who's perpetuating this crime bullshit. New York tilted further right because of a complete failure of the New York Democratic Party, which is honestly one of the worst state parties for the Democrats in the entire country. The fact that there isn't a complete house cleaning going on there is unbelievable. But of course they're not. In fact, the state party standing behind the guy who runs the party in New York. You have Sean Maloney, who pushed out Mondaire Jones, the progressive who held the district that basically redistricting took away Mondaire and Maloney's district, but the new district was mostly Mondaire Jones's old was in mostly Mondaire Jones's old district. But Maloney decided to run, and he's the head of the DCC. DCCC.
DCCC, yeah.
Yeah, and the and Mondaire Jones, very, I like the guy, so I'm trying to think, unstrategically decided he would be better off not running against the head of the DCCC, but to run in a district nowhere near his old district that basically covered parts of Brooklyn and Manhattan, which makes zero sense. And so basically Mondaire Jones lost that district he ran in.
I wonder now if since Sean Patrick Maloney lost that race, does that give now a chance for Mondaire Jones to come back to that district and run next time?
I mean, he could run next time.
I feel like that must be a very weak seat for the GOP, right? Like that's an easy pickup next time if they have a good candidate.
I was reading that even with redistricting, those I think at least three of those lost seats still voted for Biden in 2020. Like they were not originally right wing leaning, or like their redistricting didn't turn.
So it's really
straight up.
Then turnout's the issue. Then so then it was low turnout, I imagine, because people didn't want to vote for Patrick Maloney.
I don't think it was just low turnout. I think it was convincing suburban moms and the like that Democrats are bad on crime. A lot of those types have become anti-Democrat because of COVID policies. These are straight up weirdos in some parts of New York. People forget that New York is a big ass state, and like New York City may have the most people and could decide elections. But when you get to the problem with the House, then you have to count people in those districts. And that's where, those votes, those Democratic votes are not always in the majority.
Yeah, but so that must really be like a New York media thing then, because you didn't see that across the country. Like that was really New York and California, oddly, were like the ones were the two states that Democrats didn't do as well in.
Yeah.
When they should be just complete, takeovers. Like it's weird to see both those states controlled by Democratic parties that just do not go anywhere near to the left where they should be able to because of the states they are in and the people they serve.
Right. No, absolutely. And I mean, it's something that the Democrats should really, especially in the context of this, in state houses across the country, Democrats won majorities in states where they haven't held majorities in decades. Like, this wasn't an anomaly in certain races across the country. Like, just, you know, just weird, you know, maybe we just had some really good candidates scattered across the country in, like, House races or Senate races, whatever. I mean, yeah, you did, but it wasn't, like, just flukes left and right. It was literally a blue wave, should I say, across the country, except in California, except in New York, and really the one state where Republicans got even, you know, redder, Florida. Every other state, you saw, like, the winds of change.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I guess, see, that it was, you know, largely a good result, but it was bizarre, you know, as an outsider to witness that and just see, like, yeah. Well, Florida, I mean, you kind of assume it's just gone now at that point. But to see, you know, losses in New York, and it's because of, you know, the leader of the DCCC, and, like, if he didn't do what he did, didn't lose his seat, like, so many things could have changed, and Democrats could still be holding the House. Like, it could just be a completely different election. But because this egomaniac, like, wanted to have this seat and ran the way he ran, and then he blamed AOC after, didn't he, like, put blame on AOC after losing? Like, he complained that somehow she hurt his race or something. It's just to see these total corporate hacks blame the left when they lost in a district that was controlled by a progressive. Maybe you're the problem. Maybe you ran too far to the right and that's why you lost. But I don't know. You know, apart from some of those idiots, I do think there is some hope here for Democrats to, you know, maybe learn something, see all these Bernie endorsed candidates winning their races, someone like Summer Lee overcoming all that money spent against her by AIPAC to win her race. Like, there's so many examples of that, and to see that continue is, you know, is good. I think we're going to see more of those progressive pickups in the future.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's I think these midterms and combined with this Trump announcement bode well for Dems in terms of this. I want to be straight up here. It is going to be their campaigns to lose. I want to really, like, you know, rein in expectations a little bit, because we know that the Dems do drop the ball a lot. So if they want to actually take advantage, I really do think the landscape of the political world is for their taking. And they need to decide what they want to stand for, what they want to fight for, you know, and actually put in the work to do it and put forward candidates who are going to do that as well. I mean, don't get your hopes up, but somehow all the stars aligned for the midterms. Those were some pretty damn good candidates, honestly. Like, you just mentioned Summer Lee in the House there. That first Gen Z in the House in Florida, Maxwell Frost, I believe his name is.
Yeah.
In Texas, oh, I can't remember his name. I think his name is Greg Cesar. Another.
There's a few I covered in my video, but I forget the names. But yeah, there's at least four main ones, and then there were others as well that did really well.
Right.
That also won. Like, yeah, there was a lot more than usual, and they all won.
Even Senate races, like Fetterman, obviously. Who else did they? Was that the only? That's the only new pickup, right? I think so. All the others were holding on to seats that everyone thought Republicans were probably going to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they should look at Fetterman. Really, Fetterman gave them the keys to victory. Look what he did. I mean, and I think the left needs to take a lesson from Fetterman too. And I'm always shocked that no one brings this up. Really, Fetterman. Really, I mean, obviously, he has a history, longtime history in Pennsylvania. He was a mayor in a working class city there. I mean, look at the guy. He looks like just, you know, Pennsylvania biker dude. Everyone loves to talk about how big he is, which honestly, I think that does help. You know, just visuals. Unfortunately, people love that shit, which bodes well for any future political career I would want. But anyway, but one thing that I think is overlooked, and I really do think this was huge, and this is the lesson the left needs to take, is Fetterman really put himself out there in 2020. I don't know if you guys remember, but in 2020, right after the presidential election, when votes were still being counted and Pennsylvania was undecided, they were still counting the votes, Fetterman was on TV all the time talking about how the process needs to be respected. Every vote's going to count. We're not going to let Trump put forward this election fraud bullshit. And I know there were probably some leftists poo-pooing this and going like, oh, you know, this is not. But look what it did. It got normies to get into a progressive candidate, and they never questioned him. The Bernie bro shit never came up for John Fetterman. And look at John Fetterman. If they were going to do a Bernie bro campaign on any guy, you think it would be the tattooed goatee giant. And they didn't do it because they liked him because of the Trump standing up against Trump and the election integrity shit. He just gave them that little bit of sweet talk, if you want to call it, and that was it. And you know what? It's respectable he did that and put himself out there and became the face of that for Pennsylvania. And it paid off for him, I should say. It paid off so much for him, and I think it'd be smart for leftists to think about what some of those normie Dems want to hear that will not at all hurt your leftist bona fides or policy beliefs. Just literally, like, media stuff and putting yourself out there and saying we're not going to let Republicans steal this shit. And I really think that did him so much in getting normie Dems in Pennsylvania to support him from the get-go. I mean, he won the primary and he won it pretty easily.
Yeah, I do think him looking a lot different than your typical Democrat, him looking like you're you know, like a union guy. Somebody tweeted out, I forget who said this, but he's basically, if a union was a person, that's how Fetterman looks. Like, that's kind of what I get from him. Like, he's this guy that is just able to really command this attention. And from people that I think normally wouldn't vote, like independents that would normally just look the other way, he's able to get this attention because largely how he appears and who he is. And because he looks different, then people pay a little more attention to, you know, what he's standing for, what he's fighting for, his platform. And I don't know. I think it definitely worked for him.
Yep. Yep. Uh-oh. People in your chat are saying there's some echoing going on.
Yeah, I think, you know what I think happened? When you played video, whatever audio you changed to, it's playing back my audio to my audience. So they're hearing me twice, I think, is what's happening.
Oh, boy.
Because when you changed when you fixed your mic, it actually fixed the issue. Until you played a clip again.
I'm sorry. You should let me know. I would have changed it again.
I couldn't really tell because I'm talking here, but I do see it that's a problem.
Well, if you want, you could always pull the audio from my feed and just drop it into your video.
Yeah.
Re-upload it if you want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This was fantastic to talk with you, David, on this amazing night when Donald Trump decided to run for president. And besides listening to mainly just the audio of him saying, I'm running for president, I think we had a much more fruitful discussion about his run for president than any media out there who was just playing what he was saying verbatim.
Yeah, definitely. If we just watched his speech is he still going on? Like,
I don't even know. I mean, I wanted to play a little bit of it just so people could get the idea of what his game plan was. I mean, apparently, from what I'm seeing, the Groypers, but that's no surprise because the Groypers have turned on him already a little while ago. But the Groypers were complaining in their Telegram chats how boring his speech was and how he's lost it.
But, well, I mean, he's been boring for a while, though, so maybe they're just paying attention now. I don't know. Hopefully people, I don't know. The thing is, like, I both want to see him, like, crash and burn, but I also want to see him take down the party. And he could only take down the party if he does not crash and burn, if he actually
I forgot to mention this, and because I've been tracking it, but there's not enough for, like, a full-blown discussion on it yet. I'm still trying to get all the details and see how far they're going to take this. But for people who are wondering, how Trump world, how MAGA, the most MAGA faithful, are going to take this, if they're going to still be behind Trump. Just a few days ago, QAnon believers started sharing fake shit, tying Ron DeSantis into some sort of business with Dr. Fauci in order to sully Ron DeSantis' good name. So any question about the faithful, the Donald Trump faithful, the QAnon believers, and who they're going to be with, just don't even question it. They're going to create, the Republican Party's about to get a taste of their own medicine. They're about to get all the lies and all the bullshit and all the fake conspiracies tossed in their direction. And it's going to be all about them. Some of them have already got it. Like, QAnon's already been anti, like, the establishment Republicans, like Mitch McConnell or whatever. But they're all about to eat it now. They're all about to take a spoonful, and they're all going to get it. So I look forward to that, quite frankly. I can't wait for the equivalent to Comet Pizza for the Republican Party.
At the very least, it's going to be a lot more entertainment, I guess, on the right. That watching the fight on the right is going to be a lot more enjoyable than watching or experiencing the fight on the left. So there'll be that.
All right. David Dole, everybody. This was fantastic. We should, again, do this more. I think this is the first time you've been on my show. I think I've been on your show once or twice before.
Talking about crypto stuff.
Right. That's ridiculous. We should do it more often.
Yeah, I agree. This is good.
Yeah, especially after last week. That was a lot of fun. People are already calling it the leftist YouTuber all-star team or something. I saw some people say.
I think that should be a new podcast. I don't know about you.
Yeah, a little weekly podcast.
Get a bunch of people on.
Right. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. for David Dole's audience, because we're crossing streams here, multicasting. You could check me out at youtube.com/Matt Binder. Why don't you just go open a new window, subscribe right now while you're watching David's channel and you're already logged into YouTube. And for my listeners, probably already know who you are, but just in case, where can they find you, David?
They can find me at therationalnational.com. That redirects to the YouTube page. You can also, if you want to join the Patreon page, join Patreon. therationalnational.com/join. And also you can find me on Twitter, if it still exists, at David Dole, D-O-E-L.
There you go. And I guess I should, that's a good idea. Patreon.com/Matt Binder as well.
And I'm
at Matt Binder on Twitter. Again, we'll see how that goes.
And I've linked to your stuff below my video as well, so people can just check out on my chat. Really
cool.
Easy.
There you go. And I will there do the same. I usually do the same, but I guess I forgot because I forgot to put it up till right before we went live. I'll get your stuff in there too. Have a great night, awesome. David. Always a pleasure.
You too. Great talking to you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks. It is time to go to the second half of the show. I have already shouted out the Patreon page, but I'll do it again. Patreon.com/Matt Binder. Support this show. Again, it's been an interesting couple of months because we were losing patrons for a little bit because people were literally telling me, "I'm sorry, I lost my job. Hope to be back soon." Totally understand that. I think there were some. I mean, you could see it. Layoffs are happening across the country the past couple of months. So that's what's going on. But then this past month, the bleeding, at least for now, stopped. But we're not really gaining anybody, but we have gained a few. That's definitely a better direction. So if you haven't become a Patreon subscriber and would like to, go to patreon.com/Matt Binder and join these wonderful people who've just joined me since the last week. Let me go and see. Brian B, Chai T-Rex, Noel P, Kevin M, Connor W, and Roger F. Thank you all so much for becoming patrons. As always, you can subscribe to the YouTube channel at youtube.com/Matt Binder. I will answer these super chat questions. I see it. Don't worry. We're going to the second half of the show. I'll answer it then. I see people saying they're super chats. I'll get to that. youtube.com/Matt Binder. And while you're there, if you want to give a one-off payment, like a tip to me or whatever, you can drop a super chat in the live chat stream, and I read all super chats in the second half of the show. You can also go to twitch.tv/MattBinder. If you're an Amazon Prime subscriber, you can subscribe, which is a paid subscription on Twitch, for free, as in free for you, but paid for me. You just got to connect your Amazon Prime subscription, your Amazon Prime account, to your Twitch account. And Amazon will gift you that free Twitch Prime subscription every month. It's got to be a manual thing you do. You have to resubscribe manually every month if you want to subscribe to me. Give it to somebody, though, if it's not me. It's a waste to just let Amazon keep that extra money. What else? As always, doomedcast.com for the podcast version of this show. Check out my other show, Scam Economy, where Ed Zitron joined me this week to talk about everything that's happened with FTX and Sam Bankman-Fried. It is the most downloaded episode already in Scam Economy's history. That's right. In one day, it has become the most downloaded episode. I guess now, but even before, it's now day two, but even before day two, on day one, it became the most downloaded Scam Economy episode since I started the show about 9 months ago. Definitely check that episode out. And if you haven't yet, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, especially Apple Podcasts. Scam Economy is currently right now high up on the podcast charts because of the success of that episode in the technology category. And if people leave reviews, it bumps it up even higher. We're doing bigger than like a lot of name podcasts right now, like podcasts from the New York Times, Vice, Vox. So definitely, if you haven't yet, leave a review and check out that episode, scameconomy.com. At Matt Binder on Twitter for as long as that lasts. And let's go to the second half of the show where you can call in. Just open up Skype and you can just search Doomed Live, one word, Doomed Live. And I take the calls as they come in. We can have a conversation about whatever you'd like. Let's do that right now. If you're watching on the live stream or you're a Patreon patron, you can stick around. Nothing will change for you. Just give me a second to it's the same feed too. Just give me a second to refill my drink. For people listening to the free podcast, this is where I say, I will see you next time on Doomed.